This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Tonight, we'll be discussing how we handle our problems. Now, we know that each and every one of us is dealing with something. All of us have something that we have to deal with. But how do we deal with it? What problems do we come across in our work or our lives? Is there a connection between problems and opportunities? Maybe you're looking at that problem wrong. What do you think? Why or why not? Problems don't matter, solutions do. Do you agree or disagree? Like I said previously, everyone is dealing with something. What was the last problem you solved and how did you do it? How do we solve our problems? Well, we could identify the issues in order to be clear about what the problem is. Sometimes we go into a tizzy about something that we think is the problem, which is not necessarily the problem, but it could be the result of the problem. We have to make sure we know what the problem is. We should understand everyone's interest, who's involved with the issue. We could make a list of possible solutions. We can evaluate the options and select one or more. We can document agreements and agree on contingencies. So there's a lot of things that we could do. And sometimes a problem is very simple to work out, very simple, but we find that it seems hard to us. So we have to find out what actually is the problem. We have to identify the problem. Now, I had a little problem. I mean, yeah, a little small issue. And I had gone to the doctor and he was asking me about my sleeping habits. And I told him, you know, sometimes I really don't sleep well. So what he told me was very interesting. He told me that I needed to get some wine. And I told him I didn't drink. And was he trying to make me a senior alcoholic? But he said, you know, it might help me. So, okay, I went home and, before I got home, I stopped at the store. And, of course, I don't know wines very well, but I did know the name Arbor Mist. And somebody told me that's old school, but hey, it's okay with me. So I got the Arbor Mist and I got blackberry. So I figured that was pretty good because I don't like dry wine. I like it when it's sweet. Anyway, make a long story short, I brought it home. And what I did with it was, and I get a lot of laughs off, I don't sit and just drink it out of a glass. I pour it over my ice cream And because I like my ice cream to be real creamy. You know, if I didn't have that, I would have milk, cream it up, or Kool-Aid to cream it up. But I said, well, let me try the wine. So I poured a little wine over it and creamed it up. And I ate it. Man, I tell you the truth. This is the honest truth. I slept good the entire night. And I said, okay, I found my solution. And you will find that several people on television I've seen, and they're, you know, older, and the people will ask them, well, how do you, you know, how did you, what did you do to be your age? I mean, you know, what have you been doing? And the person, a lot of times they say, well, you know, I drink a little whiskey or whatever, whatever. So, you know. But anyway, to each his own. Some people, they don't like it and they won't do it. And that's okay. I didn't drink alcohol. And I can take a bottle and it'll last me, you know, 2-3 months. So I'm not just guggle it down. But, you know, just pour a little and mix it up in my ice cream. And that's my story about my problem. Of course, I have real issues, because a lot of people wouldn't say not being able to sleep is an issue. But I think it is, because you're losing a lot of sleep. And then when you are sleeping, you know your body rebuilds itself. It heals itself. So it depends, you know. So that's my story. I identified the issue. The doctor told me what to do. I did it, and it helped. And of course, you know, that was just one. That was just one. But all of us have to deal with some issues. I don't work any longer, so I don't have any coworker issues. I've never had to list solutions to a problem. You know, maybe I could have. Maybe I could have done that, because I was trying to find an illustrator for my book, and I was having a time. I was really having a time. And now I'm still having a time. So that's an issue. The best solution for that one, I think, is to continue monitoring what the person who's helping me out now, what they do. And that's what I've done previously with another person. I didn't have to work as hard. So I will possibly have to find another person to well, I'll have to list some more possible solutions and evaluate my options, because, you know, I've got to get someone who's really good and who's fair, and not trying to go overboard. So that's me. And I'm just talking about simple issues. You might have, excuse me, you might have an issue with a person or not, but But we all have issues with a person. You might have a problem with a significant other. You might have a problem with an addiction. And we can talk about it. And maybe someone can help you out, or it's possible that you could help someone with your problem, your solution. Okay, well, we're going to take a break, and I'll just remind you, if you have to make a comment or you want to make ask a question, you can press the 1 on your phone, and then you'll be streaming live. And you can tell us what your issue is. Right now, we're going to take a break. And I'll just remind you, we're talking about handling our problems. And this is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Is your food bland and you want to spice it up? Does it taste like something is missing? What's missing is my seasoning, Butch's Bodacious Seasoning, all-purpose seasoning, good on absolutely everything but ice cream. I'm Linda Porter, President and CEO of Butch's Bodacious Seasoning. To get the spice back in your life, call me at 313-393-2738. You won't regret it. Thank you.
My name is Sheila White. I am the president and co-founder of Her Cries Are Heard, an organization that focuses on preventing violence against females. 1 in 3 women have been victims of physical abuse or violence by an intimate partner or non-partner within their lifetime. 94% of women killed by men were murdered by someone they knew. Violence can affect a woman's physical and mental health and also negatively affect her children. In 1991, my sister was murdered by her husband. And in 2013, my niece was murdered by a man who followed her home from a party. Being a victim of violence is devastating to the victim and the victim's family. Help us to help you. Help us to prevent this from happening to you or someone you love. Please look at our website, www.hercriesareheard.org, for the prevention tools and referrals to help save lives.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, and we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. We're talking tonight about how do we handle our problems. A lot of us deny that we even have a problem. We just, no, I don't want to deal with that. I won't deal with it. And that's not the best thing to do. You know, you just have to get to it. Get to it. You just can't let it ride. And so it's going to work itself. It's going to work itself out. One thing you can do is be consistent. Be consistent. If you're having an issue, maybe you should go to a person and say, hey, A, B, C, or D. You know, just approach the person and try to work things out. And another thing you can do is when you're discussing whatever you decide, do what you say you'll do. You know, don't lie. Don't tell a lie. That's not going to help you. It's really going to, well, it might make it worse. Be fair. Even if you're arguing, be fair. And be kind of sensitive to the other person's feeling. You got to be, you know, you're not the only one that's having the issue, because if you're having the issue, then the other person should be having an issue as well. I mean, if you're the only one having an issue and they're not, then that's a whole new ball game. That's a whole new ball game. If that's the case, then you're going to have to work that out. You're going to work that out. So I guess if you have a significant other, then you should tell them, you know, if you're going to be late coming home, you just call. I have kind of, sort of, maybe, but not really. I mean, I've kind of sometimes stay over time when I'm doing something, and my husband or my son don't know where I am. And if my phone is cut down, then I'm not hearing it ring. And one evening, they called the, well, they were going to call the police. I thought that was really interesting. But, you know, I mean, with all of this sex trafficking and all this abduction and all sorts of things going on, that's a good thing they were looking for me. You know, you never know. You never, ever know. So that let me know that they cared about me. So I'm thankful. Anyway, like I said, and I'll repeat it again, everybody is dealing with something. You know, we're not going to go through this life problem-free. That's not going to happen. So if you have an issue, sit down and talk to, even if it's on the job. Or if you have an addiction and you want to stop but you can't, maybe you can find someone to talk to. Maybe you can find someone who had that same addiction and they can tell you what they did to get rid of it. I mean, you know, we all have something to deal with. And you have to be sensitive to other people's feelings as well. So if they tell you to do something and you don't want to do it, you don't have to. Nobody's going to make you. But you should know that they may not try to help you. If you are to the point where you ask someone for help, they tell you what to do, and then you don't do it. I mean, that doesn't make much sense. Another problem is communication. I think that's the most You just have to communicate with your coworkers. You have to communicate with your significant others. You have to communicate with your children. You have to communicate with anybody that you're around on a regular basis or you have dealings with or however it works. So all relationship problems stem from poor communication. You can't communicate while you're checking your BlackBerry, watching TV, or flipping through the sports section, someone said. The thing of it is, if you're going out to a restaurant with someone, I think, now this is my opinion, and you guys don't have to agree, but my opinion is, if you pull out your phone, you're out to dinner with someone, and you pull out your phone and start checking your emails or looking at Facebook or looking at your Twitter account, to me, that's rude. And I see that so often. People will be out to dinner, sitting at a table across from each other or next to each other, and everybody has a phone out. That's crazy. Okay, I have a caller. Okay, caller, you're on the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. You got a question or a comment? Hello.
Hello, how are you this evening, Miss Jenny White?
I'm fine, and how are you, Miss Lucy?
I'm just fine. I was, you know, it's interesting you're talking about problems. I've heard someone say the more problems you have and you learn how to deal with it, how to handle problems, it means the closer you're getting to certain goals that you have wanted in your life. That's about, it comes about you having problems and solving problems. I know for one thing, when I was working, I've been retired for a while, but I had a lot of problems at work because I just didn't see eye to eye with a lot of things. When I started to learn how to talk to people the right way or keep it lighthearted, even if I did not agree, it helped so much. And instead of trying to do less work at work, if you feel like you've been put upon, the way you take it, handle it, it had a lot to do with it. And you learned how to communicate. You learned how to talk to people, even if you felt there was discrimination there. You have to learn how to talk, how to handle it without causing a major disturbance. I was good at always causing a major disturbance if I felt that I've been messed over, you know, and I would react to it. And even if I were right, even if I filed a grievance or whatever and won the grievance, there was still this underlying current there. And it wasn't an atmosphere conducive to good work, getting the job done in the right way in the office setting. And I had to learn. I know this one supervisor, we were going head up, and she would be nasty to me, and I would be nasty. And it looked like the voice within me, I always say it's the Lord, saying, Lucy, you're the Christian. Why are you doing this? Well, they did this to me, and I don't like this, and I don't have to take this, you know. And I would pray about it. And it seemed like the Lord said, whatever they ask you to do, do more. And that really blew my top then. It came across, you know, and I knew what he was going to do. I was really angry. You know, who is she to put this kind of work on me? Especially she's showing favoritism. All of the things that I saw were true. But how are you going to handle it? And so finally, I started trying to, you know, I didn't want to do it, but finally I had to grin and bear it and say, well, you know, let me help you with that. Or, you know, start doing other things. And I knew that I was doing a lot of things that were in my position responsibility because another section manager came. She was a district manager. She came and she saw what I was doing and how I was handling this and that. She said, why are you letting these white folks put all this stuff on you? She asked me, you know. So in other words, she identified the fact that I was doing more than my share in order to keep the office running. But I did it because it, to me, it was the Lord telling me, hey, stop fighting. Excuse me.
Yeah, that makes
more.
Sense. But that's just like when you when you've said something maybe you didn't intend to say or you intended to say, but then you recognize that you should not have said it, then you should apologize. Because apologizing is not for the other person.
Yeah.
Apologies are for you. If you have to apologize, that's for you. And
yeah,
you need to do it. We need to learn to apologize to people when we feel that we've said something wrong. Because once words are out there, they're out there. You certainly can't bring them back. And that person might not, you know, forget. And they might not forgive you. And if they don't, then that's still okay. Because you did what you were supposed to do. And you can live with yourself,
yeah.
But they may not be able to if they're running that over and over and over again. It's crazy.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy. So
yeah,
we have to be careful about that. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
I understand. But you did what you were supposed to do. And there's always a good reward for doing what you're supposed to do.
Boy, oh boy, I got a sneezing spell here. But I know
that
I was talking
God
to
bless
my,
you.
I was talking to my grandson, who's 9. He was talking about this happened in school. And so I was telling him how to handle something. No, it ain't fair. This is not fair. This is not fair, Granny. It's not fair. It's not fair. But you have to learn how to work through things and handle problems and solve problems in a proper manner so that everybody will be satisfied. You try to do that. Well, Granny, it's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. And I told him, I said, you know what? Fair is just a word in the dictionary. You have to work to bring about a peaceful end to a lot of things. And I was telling him some of the things that I did. Well, Granny, that wasn't fair what happened to you. That wasn't fair. That wasn't fair. That wasn't fair. You know? And I was telling him a lot of things in your life are going to happen. It's not fair. But you try to work through it to a positive end. And this is what I did to this one supervisor because we were going head up and I would file a grievance. You know, here is all these black people in this audience, in this office, fighting each other. You know, we know that they're doing that. And then a white person has to come in and handle the grievance, looking at y'all, fighting and trying to kill each other in the office, you know. And so finally, I just said, let's try to work things out. And stuff. So I started helping her more. And she was insecure in her position as well as I was. So we started working together more. No matter what was there, you know, I tried to work through it. And by the time she left the office, we were very good friends. In fact, myself and another supervisor, we gave her flowers and things. And then we would remember her birthday and even when she left the office, she still remembered our birthdays and called us. And we had a good time. And I know that I was very good friends with her until this woman, until she died, you know, after she left
the
office.
Oh, wow. So
you
won
a
friend.
Yes, we did. It really changed around. Myself and this other friend, supervisor, we're friends. And we still talk about it now, even after being retired for a while, as to how the office and everything changed. And we got the work done. And she would try to help us out, and we tried to help her out. And all of us, you know, so we all could come up together. But a lot of things that, you know, you have to see how you're going to handle things. Problems do not go away. Someone said problems come in order to, the closer you get to the goals that you're praying about, he said, and patience, we were looking at the book of James, he sends you when all kinds of problems crowd into your life. Stop hating them. Stop resenting them. Well, welcome them like you would welcome a friend. I said, hey, that's going deep now. Really, just come to test your faith and producing a quality of endurance. We don't have endurance anymore. Does nobody want endurance?
Right,
Get married, or you know, whatever. Your things, you start having problems. Things, it doesn't turn out to be what you like. What was after the honeymoon stage is over, and then nobody wants to stay together. They don't want to do this. But it comes
they
down
don't
to
want
to
work for it.
Yeah, but work at handling your marriage. Work at handling it. They don't want to endure anything. And, you know, try to find that, learn. That's when you start to learn each other. Because then the honeymoon is over, you know. You learn each other. And it comes down to, do you still love that to the point where you are committed to one another? It takes a different thing. Love turns into commitment. I'm committed to you till death do us part. Nobody likes to say that anymore.
Right.
And,
you know, that's really interesting that you should say that, because I was listening to this guy on The View, Terry Crews, and he was saying that he and his wife have been married 30 years, and he said that they were going out for their anniversary. And they were at this restaurant, and for whatever reason, they began arguing. And so finally she said, well, give me the valet ticket because I'm leaving. So he gave her the valet ticket and she left. So the waiter came to the table and said, sir, do you still want your dinner? And he said, yes. And he said he sat there and he ate his dinner and everything, you know. So when he was finished, he called Uber. And when he got to the house, he said he went up to the bedroom and his wife was sitting up in the bed watching television. And he said he got in the bed and kind of snuggled onto her right next to her. And he looked at her and said, you good? She said, yes, I'm good. And he said that was when he knew they would be together forever. He said he knew right then because they were going to be. He said that was the best anniversary he ever had. The best anniversary. Yes, yes. But, you know, she wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't going anywhere. So, yes, that's what exactly what it is. But nobody wants to do that anymore.
They don't want to be committed.
You know,
they
that's
want to
really
be
interesting.
And it keeps causing more problems, especially within our community, because a breakdown of the family is an economic breakdown.
Yeah.
It keeps going on and on. And then you're out there, and, you know, it just keeps going on and on. It causes a lot of problems for your children, for your children's children. It keeps going. Somebody has to break that pattern of response, you know. Not just in marriage, but even in being single, you know.
But you have to be adults, too. You have to be adults and understand that what you do. My thing is this. I have a real, real, real issue about nowadays you can't have an opinion. If I say, you know, blue is the most, the best color that I've ever seen. And somebody will say, no, that's not the best color. And you should not be saying that and this and that and this. And, you know, it's really interesting to me how we can't have differences of opinions anymore.
And still be good friends.
It's always got to be an argument. Well, you know, a man bought his wife an exercise machine for Christmas. Nobody knows. She may have asked him to do it. But because they didn't know, I'm just saying that she could have asked him or told him that's what I want. But he purchased it for her, and, everybody was up in arms. He's saying that she's fat and this and that and the other. Come on, people. You know. No one has to agree with it. That's why God made each one of us different. I don't care if we're twins. We're still different because we all have different fingerprints. Now, that goes to tell you that God didn't want us all to be the same. But people, we have a difference of opinion. I don't have to like blue just because you like it. So that's why, you know, I tell my Sunday school students all the time, stay off social media. Not only that, because nowadays we have an epidemic
of suicide with young people.
It is. This is something that's really great, especially among, I tell you, my daughter works at the in the mental wards at DMC, and she says it's high among Black young men.
Yes. Yes, it's an epidemic.
High.
And one of my church members' nephews took his life, and the child was 21.
What's wrong?
And
you know,
I mean, you know,
it's a
with all the bullying.
A
yes. And we've got to do something. We got to get a handle on this. Because
and
we're
you,
losing
you
our children. We're losing our children. I don't know if we're not talking to them. Yes. What are we not doing? What are we not doing to help these young people? Because you got this social media and people are being bullied and they don't know what to do. We've got to help these kids.
Feel like they can't handle it. It's hard for them to handle something. And then, you know, you have to deal with the person's ego also. You know.
But we have
to teach.
We have to teach our kids.
Yeah.
We have to teach them. What I wish we could get them to stay off social media.
Stay off social media?
Stay off. Yes. Because that's a lot of bullying going on. And then you have a lot of people pretending to be children and telling these young girls or boys, you know, they want to meet them. And these are adults.
Yeah.
These are adults. We have a lot of our young people missing, too.
Very much, very much. That is a big problem that we're faced with. You know, when you come into the, we were looking for high hopes and crossing over into 2020. It was a new decade, a new that. They're saying the numbers 2020 spells out deliverance and things of that nature. And you're looking for it hard. And, but then you run into the same problems you brought from 2019 over to 2020, and you have to learn how to deal with them. You have to learn how to handle it and deal with them. You have to change the way you deal with a lot of things in order to, maybe you have to step back, you know, as far as the way you spend your money, the way you know, if you want to move ahead, you have to just give up on a lot of things and say, hey, I'm not going that way anymore. Well, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to try to save this much, and I'm going to try to hold my family together, especially with a single-parent household that's just being overrun. And we're going to do it this way. To try to bring about what you have in order to bring about a certain change within your family structure. So as you work together, you go together. Sure, things are going to come in on you, but you can still hold your family together. And I try to emphasize that to my children too, because I knew what it was. So I finally found out what it is to be a single parent. I worked, I worked for welfare for 37 years. And then turned around after I retired from there. I worked at the mission, working with the trouble problem we had with men, on addictions and things like that. And it was interesting. But for each one of them, you have to make a change in your life to, like you said, it's the choice, there's a choice you have to make.
You have to change the way you think. You will not change your situation unless you change the way that you think. And we have to start these kids early. I was listening to Tyler Perry when he said, now his son is 5 years old, and he happened to come upon, well, I guess the child didn't know he had come back home, but he came upon his son, and his son was arguing with the nanny back and forth. So what he did was, he told the nanny, you go away, I'll take care of this. And he said he got down on his knees so he could, they could be eye to eye. And he told that child not to be disrespecting adults. See, you have to start it
down there, once you start it down there, then it will blossom. And by the time they get old enough, they will know. I had a person in church told me, because the little girl, she was 3 years old when she started singing in the choir. She's very good. And she wanted to be baptized. So they said they were going to, you know, have her baptized when she got five. But then her grandmother told me, you ought to hear her pray. At that time, she was 4 years old. And she said, you ought to hear this little girl pray. And that really blew my mind. But when you raise up a children like they're supposed to go in Christ and what they're supposed to do, those kids, they'll give you a problem. Now, they might go out. I'm not going to say they're never going to do anything wrong, but they'll go out there. But God said that if you train them up, they might leave, but they will come back. And I'm a living witness, because I had to go to church every single Sunday. And I don't care how many programs you had to stay there all day long, because that was the thing that we had to do every Sunday morning. My daddy get up making biscuits and fried chicken. And that's what we did every Sunday. We had to go to church. And when I got married, the first thing I said was, I ain't going to church no more. That was the first thing that came out of my mouth. And for about a month, I didn't. But you know what? Something hit me. And I said, let me get my behind back in church, because this Sunday thing is not working for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I did. And even when I changed states, the first thing I wanted to do, and I started walking the streets trying to find a church that I could go to, you know, because that's all I know is the church. And I make sure that my children were baptized and my children go to church. So, you know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that, because if you don't profess Christ as your Savior, you're going to be in some trouble. And these sick bed confessions and all of that, I think that's a whole wasted life. You wait until you get sick and ready to die, and then you want to say, well, you know, I want Jesus to be my Savior.
But there's so much more in the Lord. There's so much more.
Than to wait until you're dying? What did you do with your life?
You have so much regret on your deathbed. So much regret.
Yes. And that's one thing you don't want to do. You don't want to leave here having regrets. That's not a good thing. I wish I had. That's why you find a lot of older people who are very, very angry people.
Sitting on the bedpan in the nursing home saying, I wish I had done more. I wish I had pushed more. I wish I had the strength to do it. Get out there and use it. Live with all the gusto that you have. Sure, life may not have treated you fairly, but whatever life is still in you, you can still pull something out of it that you can feel good about.
That's how to handle the problem.
You got to figure some way out about handling the problem without depriving somebody else. You have to learn that. We feel like I handle the problem, but then you impose upon somebody else's life. That's not handling the problem. That's passing.
Right. And don't blame somebody else for your problems.
Yeah. Then you throw that your problem on someone else. No, you handle it. You made this. This is your life. You handle your problem and handle it to the point where you're satisfied and people around you haven't had to suffer because of it.
Right.
That's a good point. And he would show you how to handle problems too. Because for years, I really was going head up on the job. I mean, head up, you know, because I felt that, you know, I'm a big thing about civil rights and all of this. But then I had to learn to handle it on an individual basis and still keep the peace that you should have in an office setting or in a church setting or whatever type of setting, even at home. How are we going to handle this? I used to have meetings with my children when they were little. We have family meetings. Even when the baby was still in the playpen, and he knew that he was his turn to say something, he would get another, and then he sat down and he felt good about being in the family. You know, I had family meetings. Everybody had something to say. Yeah, I was just recently talked to my older son, and because we were a single parent household, I had to find a man to talk to him. That's when I put all of us under counseling. And Dr. Daniels was a very good man for it. The kids, while we got to go this and we got to listen this and all, they had such a drag out. As soon as they saw him, we were coming into the building and they look at his car. Hey, that's a Jaguar. I thought we meant Jaguar. It was a cat sitting on the man's car. Yeah, we're driving a Jaguar. Yeah. They got all geeked. Yeah, he doing this and he doing this to the boys, you know. And so they felt like they could relate to him. Well, this man got a Jaguar. Look at that Jaguar, you know, all of that. And he was a black man. He was an educated black man. And he was very helpful with my oldest son. Very helpful for years. Very, very helpful. It helped to steer him in a lot of ways. Because a lot of people say you can raise him, but a man has to teach him to be a man, you know. They keep saying it that way. Well, I have a lot of people in the church to help me with him and things like that. But, you know, after a while, you just didn't trust a lot of people in the church to do what they were supposed to, although we were part of the church. So I did what I could, and, you know, as far as that, I was just telling him that not too long ago, that I, trying to handle the problem, my insurance paid for, you know, that type of service, so I would take him every week. And he would have conference with every one of them and talk to them and all of this. And it was a healthy time. It was a wonderful time. You know, and that's why I'm thankful for that. But you have to learn how. As a single parent, you have to learn how to hold your family together, keep them safe, and help them to grow, you know, and give them an atmosphere conducive for them to improve their own selves, no matter what. No matter what.
And you know what? I think another thing is, I think we don't do dinners together anymore. I think when we do dinners, that's an opportunity to talk to the kids, you know, say,
yeah,
what's going on with you? Are you doing okay in school? This, that, and the other. That's the place where you can talk, you know. No phones. No, I have a rule, no phones in my car. With my grandson, when we were driving, I said, I don't want you to use your phone in the car. I said, I want to talk to you. So we're riding. He put his phone away. We're riding, and, you know, I didn't say anything. He said, well, Nanny, you want to talk to me? You're not talking. I said, that's okay, but you can't use your phone in my car. And no phone at the table. So, you know, you want to have communications with your child, and you want to be able for your child to feel comfortable enough that if they are having a problem, they can come to you. Absolutely. So, yes. So, you know, we have to help our children. We have to help ourselves.
That's really true. That is definitely true. When you carry the load like that. There's nothing wrong with having a problem. It's nothing wrong with
it. Well, that was one of the things I was going to say. A problem might be an opportunity.
It is an opportunity.
It's a lot of solving, and trying to get the job done.
You have to deal with the problems that are there. What's the problem? How should we look at this? How can we come together and iron out the problems that we're faced with instead of fighting each other? Instead of fighting each other and trying to do each other in, you know. We have a lot of that within the black community. Instead of coming together to have our best, everybody can come in on us and add to the problem to the point we don't listen to each other. We have no respect for one another. and all of that. It's disrespectful.
And that's the whole thing. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. And then money plays a lot.
A big role.
A lot of problems. Mm-hmm.
But if you can use what you have to make it. I was reading what, like a little boy in Africa, you know, they have a big water problem in Africa, but a little boy in Africa, he took just pieces of metal and things like that. And looking at a book, he made a windmill. And he brought water to his community. I think I read it someplace.
I think I saw that. Yes.
And
that's
he brought
great.
About,
I mean, you can do a lot of stuff.
It is. Just a little stuff there.
If we could round up all these people that's breaking in these party stores and whatever, you know, stealing these ATMs, if we could round all these folks up and send them to Africa, maybe they can build some schools or help somebody out there, you know.
Yeah.
So, but anyway.
Yeah. You know, I was just looking at it in Kenya. I was looking at the news today, Kenya, you know, they had a problem for a long time for rain. They had no rain. The land was dry. You know, they were trying to have crops and things of that nature. Finally, the rains came. They planted their crops, but you know what came? They showed up today on World News. Locusts came, and they were trying to find a way to keep the locusts from eating up. I mean, just swarms of them, trying to keep them from eating up the crop. They say they're damaging our crops. They're trying to pull the They've been through colonialism. All
you know, that's
land.
One of the 10 plagues.
It is locusts, yeah. And so then they were trying to spray crops, you know, to kill the locusts. But you have to be careful. It just don't get into the food. But here they are running, beating drums, everything, trying to keep the locusts off the food. And the man was showing how they was eating up the corn and things of that nature. All of this, they're dealing with problems. At one time, I was looking at it. Part of Africa where the elephants used to come and go through the fields and tear up the crop. So how could they're not supposed to kill the elephant, but how could they make it so that the elephant would stay out of the crop? And so this man came with an idea. He took a prophylactic, and he would fill it with something and then pop it. And the elephants would stay away from it, you know, and all that. So he learned how to do that. It was just something like that, trying to keep it out. And the farmers were so discouraged. They grow the crops, they're starving, things of that nature. And he learned how to take something like that. He filled it full of, it was a firecracker or something. And he would find some way to pop it and drive the elephants back to keep them away from the crops. And once they went through that thing of all this stuff popping, then they would always make a detour around the crop. So he learned how to do that to keep the elephants off the crop so that they could have some food and they could not kill the elephant. You know, it's one of the endangered species that they're trying to stop people from destroying the elephant population. And so he had to find a way, and that's what he thought to do. And
that's interesting.
They're trying to find a way to handle the problem and still have something to eat.
That's interesting because they had locusts on the Virginian today. I watched that old show from 1966. And they had a horde of locusts coming, and they had a lot of cows. And, you know, the locusts would have eaten all the food up from the cows. And they had to do the fire and the smoke and things to keep them away. But my thing right now, I think it's really horrible that Australia has lost 1 billion animals. Some of these animals will never return. I think that is so horrible.
Yeah.
And the guy was saying today that one of the kangaroos was trying to get away from the fire and ran out into the road and a car hit it. And it just so happens the people got out and they found that he had a baby in his pouch. So they were able to save the child. But he said the child's environment is gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. And a lot of the animals will never be back. And that is so sad. That is so sad, but this global warming thing is no joke. Somebody needs to hammer that into President Trump's head. But nevertheless, we, you know, we go on. We go on.
They were talking about the president and why he would he had such a large audience from the evangelicals that put him in office. They said, for one thing, they wanted someone in the Supreme Court that would translate the Constitution like it should have been. And so therefore they got that. Then they were saying how the evangelical churches are very strong when it comes down to supporting the nation of Israel. And he did that. And in fact, he, against all odds, what he did was he changed he put our embassy in Jerusalem, calling this the capital against everybody else's whatsoever. This is the capital of the Jewish people. They were good, happy about that. Then a lot of things, he pointed about 180, I think, judges that said that was turned down instead of handing down decisions based on, you know, what they call tolerance. People had rights, you know, and that's what he handled. So therefore, they believe that he still is in a good position with the evangelical churches, whereas they feel like former President Obama and Hillary Clinton, they were trying to just overlook a lot of the things that the rules and things that we've had that have built this country. And so
you know, another thing with that evangelical thing, someone had written them a letter and they could not understand why they were still supporting President Trump. And these evangelicals got totally out the box. They were so upset, you know, about somebody telling them to leave, you know, just, you know, leave him alone. And they said no. But, you know, a person can do good things, but they're doing them for a reason.
Yeah, but, for a reason, yeah.
I mean, a bad person can do good things. And then a good person can do bad things, too. So, you know, but I think he's shown us who he is. And number one, he is a racist. And the evangelicals evidently are, too, because, you know, they're supposed to be not holding that thing.
How can we still help ourselves out in this type of an atmosphere?
That we will get our behinds up and out and vote. We have to vote.
Okay, when you're looking
like they
people,
did for Obama,
voting.
You
That's
know how
important.
they lined up for Obama on his second term. Did you see that? Well, we have to do that now.
But even then, a lot of people feel like we still lost. Now, we get out and we vote, and they had the popular vote. But the thing is the Electoral College. That's what you have to deal with.
I think they're trying to, you know, get away with that.
Yeah. I was looking at the whole justice system. Here we're going through this impeachment proceeding, which is almost like a joke. All these lawyers that's on his side and all of this. It is. And you think about the everyday person, when you come up against the law, you can't afford, coverage like the lawyers like he can. He's spending a tremendous amount of money. And a lot of the money they're spending on this, it's coming out of our budget, too. But because he's president and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But what about the people, the everyday people? We have to take plea bargains. A lot of times we have to plead something. We don't really, we're not guilty of it. All of these things are happening. How can we work this basic problem out? They were saying that the justice system is the main system we have to break through because it's been unfair, terribly unfair, to the point where, you know, and Bishop Jake just recently pointed out, he said, listen, when a person goes to jail, okay, when they finally get out, they've been mired so they can't vote. And, in certain places, they can't live because if you show that you have a record, you can't live. Certain jobs you will not get because of that. Now, you've paid your dues. Then you can't do this, and you can't get a job. A lot of them will tell a lie on the application just to try to get a job so that they can work and all of this to make a living. You make it hard for these people to get to become part of mainstream society again. And then they end up doing something wrong, getting caught again, just to try to live, and they end up going back into the justice system again. You make it hard. Mm-hmm. This is wrong. It's wrong.
Well, you know what? I really appreciate your comments. I have enjoyed you. And
so
what I'd like to say is sometimes you're delayed where you are because God knows there's a storm where you're headed.
That's
so
true, yeah.
I would like to say I wish everyone who's listening, I thank you for calling in. Even if you didn't say anything, I appreciate you for calling in and listening. And hopefully you heard something that you could use, hopefully. If not, I thank you for just enjoying the show. And right now, I'd like to say have a great weekend and smile at somebody and see if they smile back. This has been the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Good night.
Good night.